We've got a few still coming in from the atrium, so we'll wait another couple minutes.
The 24 people online say hi, Sue.
How many?
24 right now.
Hi. Like to thank Matt for that great music. It's kind of nice to come in here and just sit for a few minutes and listen to it. I want to extend a welcome especially to all of those who are here for the first time, and I know there's quite a few of them this year. About the last 3 years, our registrations have been about half brand new people who haven't been before, which is really a great thing to have new people coming each and every year. I would like to issue a very hearty thank you to all the people who offered to help this year. We had quite a few volunteers who did this or that and little things that can fall through the cracks sometimes if we don't have somebody really geared in on that. And we always welcome the help because we work kind of long distance, as you know. We all live in different parts of the country, the board, and most of what we do is online or by telephone. And so it's really great to have those that come forward and offer to help with the conference. It's very much appreciated. I was going to introduce the board at this time, but our illustrious president is... Oh, he got here. There you are. He was stuck in traffic behind a wreck. So I'll go on to something else and wait till he gets in here. Oh, you're there? Where are you? Oh, there you are. Okay. I'm going to introduce the board then. A couple of them are out doing the registrations, and that's Kathleen Jones and Diane Ormond. Diane is our treasurer, and Kathleen is our secretary. And Chad, who is standing back against the wall, is our president. This is the second year he's been president, and he's just a very brilliant, creative guy, and we're really lucky to have him. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. And I'm Sue Emmett, and I'm the vice president and chairman of the conference. Nathan Kennard, are you here? Right there, he's one of the board members. And Jerem Smith, he got here pretty late, and he's got kids with him. He's probably not down here yet. If you checked your email in the last 2 or 3 days, you probably saw the email where I attached a list of restaurants for Salt Lake. If you didn't see that or didn't get it, there are going to be some available for you tomorrow for lunchtime. And I'd like to thank Megan Knight for this. She put a very comprehensive list together, ranging from the closest to the furthest away. Last year we had a bit of a problem with the restaurant in the hotel because so many people stayed here for lunch, and some of them waited 45 minutes to even get into the restaurant. And we're still eating lunch when we got back together to start again. So I've told the chef at the restaurant this year that we will be providing a list. And we made the schedule such that we could have an extra half hour. So there'll be plenty of time to walk to several restaurants that are close. And for those who want to drive further away, there'll be plenty of time for that too. So if you didn't download that and take a look, and I only made about 50 copies of the restaurants, but on the bulletin board that is out there, we've put up the first page of the list, which is the ones that are closest to the hotel, so you can take a look there also. And in regards to the bulletin board that's out there on the easel, that is for your use. We find that sometimes people come in on Saturday and want to connect with somebody or find somebody. Sometimes some of you have talked to each other online, and basically all you know is your online name. If you want to connect with that person here, you can just put a note up. And there's a little notepad there and stick pins. If you want to get a hold of somebody or announce something that you'd like the group to know, you can put it up there on the bulletin board. We have in the group, as usual, we have people that are at all stages of their journey to understanding the Mormon Church and to learning the things that eventually leads to making a decision to leave. And we have found, of course, that there are people who leave for all kinds of reasons, and there are people who are here who are still attending church and still holding church jobs because of family reasons and all kinds of reasons. And it's interesting to me because I know that when you make the decision to leave the church, sometimes you just think, how could anybody keep staying once they know everything that I know? And it's as I look at my own life, you know, I really stuck around for a long time after I started having lots of doubts about it. So we try to present the conference that will be interesting and helpful to those no matter what stage they are in their journey out of the church. And I held a women's group meeting this afternoon up in my suite, and it was really interesting. We had practically every, you know, decade of age represented. And some of them left the church not more than a few weeks ago, and some who've been out for years, and and yet we're still dealing with some of the same issues. That's what's interesting, especially if you were born and raised in the church and have left family, close family, still in the church. It was really a great time to meet women and to share ideas, and I hope we can do this again in the future. I had two experiences this past, I guess, about 3 months that were really relevant to the conference, in a sense, and to my feelings about having left the church and my life as a Mormon growing up. And one of those experiences was that I went to a high school reunion, and actually I chaired it. We hadn't had one for a very, very long time. And so a couple of friends and I got together and decided to do it. And our high school has been, for the last few years, been having a picnic every year that is for all the classes. And it was, I hadn't known about it, and we got involved with that too. But one of the things that happened to me was made me really reflect on those years as a teenager and as a Mormon teenager. And that was running into a young man that I had dated off and on all through my high school that I really had strong feelings for. And he was kind of the one that got away, sort of a thing. And seeing him was really great and was really kind of sad in a way. And because I reflected on the reasons why we just never could quite seem, you know, to make it work. And then I remembered the discussions that we had had many times about religion, and the times that I had tried to convince him, you know, that there was only one way of the gospel, and he was very active in his Christian church, and I think our most strong arguments were about faith versus works. And as you can imagine, as a Mormon, I was pushing the works end of it, and he was pushing the faith end of it. And it made me really sad because I know in high school everyone knew I was a Mormon, and I was a little overbearing sometimes in my missionary work. At the same time, I was, you know, very active in high school and did a lot of things. But I remember always feeling like I was on the outside. No matter how active I was a student officer and all that stuff, and yet I was always on the outside a little bit in my feelings. And I think seeing this young man again made me go back and reflect all of that and understand, You know, even there, you know, I was robbed. I was robbed by being a Mormon because I couldn't quite feel like I belonged, you know. And I think that's one of the saddest things about being an active Mormon, and it separates you from the world community. It just really does. And the other thing that happened to me about 4 weeks ago is I was involved in a very, very horrific traffic accident. It was one car accident, my car. And I really shouldn't be here today. It was very miraculous that I wasn't hurt worse. I rolled my car and clear across two lanes of traffic over the median and almost into the other side of the freeway. And it was because somebody cut me off on the freeway, and I swerved and then swerved back and lost control. And I was awake enough when I landed that I immediately asked for a phone because I'd been on my way to see my daughter in a little town about 40 miles south of Portland where I live, and I wanted to let her know. And of course, the paramedics, there were a couple of off-duty paramedics right behind me, and so they got to me really fast. And I asked them for a phone, and of course, they couldn't believe I was even talking. And I called my daughter, and then later, after it was all over, I went to the hospital. It took them about an hour to get me out of the car, and they had to cut the roof off and all this stuff. And I didn't even have a scratch that bled. And I do have some things that happened, but they weren't that serious. And I called my daughter, told her what had happened, and so the phone calls then started between all my children and one of my best friends. And my daughter Kathleen called my best friend who lives in Washington, and one of them said, I don't remember which one, said, "Oh, you know, probably the only thing she's thinking about is that damn conference." And I have to tell you that when I hit the ground, and I knew I really wasn't hurt that bad, it was the first thing that came to my mind. It was like, oh, good, I can do the conference. So it is does occupy a large space of my brain for a few months before the conference starts. There is a God. There is a God, yeah. I was telling someone earlier, they'd asked me about the accident, and I said it really was a miracle, and then we laughed, and I said, you know, those earthly miracles, who knows, but unfortunately not, of course, no. No, they went the way of all flesh a long time ago. But, you know, when you have an accident like that, of course, it always makes you think deeply about the things that are most important to you. And I have to admit that the work that the board does in the ex-Mormon community is really important to me, because I didn't leave for a long, long time. You know, I had my children were all raised and all married before I left the church. And, you know, it's one of my biggest regrets that I didn't act on those doubts that I had a long time ago and taken my kids out of the church with me. And it would have been a lot easier if that had happened. Because six of my seven kids are still temple-worthy, active Mormons. So sometimes it gets real difficult. I think the thing that all of us deal with is that aspect of the lost years, sort of. It's like learning how you appreciate, you know, the things you did learn and the experiences that you had. No one should go through life regretting, you know, their past life, unless they did things, you know, that are so horrific that maybe they have a lot of repenting to do in the sense of saying you're sorry to people. But I think learning to come to terms with the lost years is one of the hardest things that we do when we leave the church. Because I've talked to a bazillion people who have said, if I hadn't been a Mormon, I would have. Especially, I think, women do this, because there are so many opportunities that we just cut out of our lives because we were Mormon and had these things to do. So I'm hoping your weekend will be wonderful. It's we worked real hard to present a variety of things that will speak to all of you in one way or the other. And one thing I will tell you, that tonight when we have the mic time, the open mic time, it is being filmed. And the camera is good up to about here is where it starts filming. So we're going to leave this row empty for people to come up. But if you don't want to be filmed or recorded, because they'll both go off at the same time, you just do a motion like this for Matt. And I think you get what I mean. So he will... Right. I'm going to turn the time over now to Chad, our president. Did he stay in here or did he go out? There you are. For some words that he would like to share with us.
Well, we love Sue so much. Sorry, internet audience. Okay, so come on up here. Let me give you these flowers. Okay, that's better. I feel like I'm in a... Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You know, anyway. Just want to welcome... She was actually transporting a large portion of raspberries in there, and so... When she had the accident, there was raspberries everywhere, and the paramedics thought it was blood, and then finally they cleared that up. So we realized, so now I've teased her, and I said, this will be forever, the weekend that you got into a jam. So that's a... So, anyway, I apologize for being a little late. There really was an accident coming down. We live in Davis County, which is just north of Salt Lake City, and there was this accident, and... As we approached it, we noticed that it was a large semi that had jackknifed, and there were Book of Mormons just spread all over the road. And, you know, we tried to go around them. We tried to go over them. We tried to go under them. So... So we made it. We made it. We made it. So, what's that?
Did they stand?
Yes. They didn't. They just laid right there, and we rolled right over them. So, yeah, Ethan was there cheering us on. Go, man, go, to keep these things going. And Sue, you know, if she keeps driving the way she does, she's not going to be around forever. So we are going to need replacements. So... Okay, I want to just briefly talk tonight, just really quickly, about the theme of the conference. This quote, "No price too high," is actually from a Nietzsche quote. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but I'm going to read it for you. The quote goes as follows. The individual has always had to struggle to keep from being overwhelmed by the tribe. If you try it, you will be lonely often and sometimes frightened. But no price is too high to pay for the privilege of owning yourself. Now, I don't want to just skip over that really glibly because it really is a high price. When we leave Mormonism, there's a lot that we give up. There's a lot that we stand to lose with familial relationships or friends or business opportunities or whatever. There's a whole world that just transforms when we leave Mormonism behind. And as I've thought about this quote, I've got this actually on my office wall at home, and I've read it probably over the past 3 years over 1,000 times, just glancing over it and then reading it through and remembering that everything that I'm going through, everything that I've struggled to get out of Mormonism is for me, is to own myself, to live life on my own terms. And I'm sure you've probably experienced some of those sadnesses and those heartaches as you've struggled to go through, but I think you'll all agree that living life on your own terms is worth it. And you need to be commended for what you've done. I said this last year. To me, it's a great honor to be here with you, to be around you, to be able to share this experience of people that have enough courage to say, I'm going to live life on my own terms. I'm going to do things my own way. I'm going to be my own person, and no one else is going to own me or dictate to me the way we live our lives. So please give yourselves a round of applause because you deserve it. So with these changes that we go through, that's obviously something probably that spurred many of us to question Mormonism because of all the changes. And Mormonism is rife with changes. You start believing in one thing and then, boom, they change it and it's something new. So, got to give a little joke here. How do Mormons change a light bulb? Or how many does it take to change a light bulb? Okay, I'll read you the answer. At least six. One to change the light bulb. One to deny that there were any changes made. One to say that we shouldn't focus on the change, only the need for light. One to say we don't teach that the light bulb needed changing in the first place. One to say that the changer was acting for himself and not as an official changer. And one to say, who cares who changes the bulbs? Don't you feel the burning of the light? All right. So with that change is going to come a change in perspective. Now, how many of you look at the world differently than you did as a Mormon? Does anyone look at the world the same way? Is that even possible?
No.
It isn't. Not when you leave. Your perspective has completely changed. And I think that's something to be embraced. In talking with all the people that I've talked to in my own journey, when we leave, we don't know what to do. We don't know, what should I teach my children? What should I think? What should I say? How should I behave? There's all these things that we now get to experience and learn on our own. Now, was that easy for you? Has it been an easy thing to learn and to grow on your own without someone always telling you exactly what to do? It hasn't been easy for me either. Has it been exciting? Because there's alcohol now involved in those changes? I mean, that does make a big difference, let's be honest. We're able to cope with a lot with a beer. So, anyway, I have a whole long thing, but I don't want to share it. I want to get to your stories tonight because I think that's really what we're here for. I want to read you two quotes in closing, if I can find them. Okay. The first quote was by a woman by the name of Simone de Beauvoir. And she says, I tore myself from the safe comfort of certainties through my love for truth, and truth rewarded me. How many of you were always right as Mormons? How many of you knew everything? You knew the right answer all the time. You had the right political party. There were all the right answers. But those certainties were what was keeping us from change and embracing what we really want is to be authentic. Now, here's the last quote I wanted to read to you by W.E.H. Leckie, I believe is how it's said. It is so much easier to assume than to prove. It is so much less painful to believe than to doubt. There is such a charm in the repose of prejudice when no discordant voice jars upon the harmony of belief. There is such a thrilling pain when cherished dreams are scattered and old creeds abandoned that it is not surprising that men close their eyes to the unwelcome light. You, my friends, looked at the light and you found it to be good. You found the changes that it gave us to be something worthwhile. And that is a marvelous thing. And I hope this weekend you go away with an experience that will help you in your journey, as this has helped me in my journey to be a part of this. I think this is a great thing that we do, and let's hope that it keeps going. So please, I make another plea, join the foundation and help us out, become a part of the board, and be with us on this. So thanks again for coming. I hope you guys have a great time. I plan on having a good time, so if I am, I hope you are. So. Anyway, thanks very much for coming, and back to Sue.